Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and a big warm welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great guest here with me and we're doing a spotlight this week about the unsexy topic of pensions. But today we're going to bring it to life and unpack what might seem like a boring and complex subject and have a whole conversation around it. So by the end, you should know a whole lot more and understand why it's important for you. And I do think it's a really overlooked aspect for self-employed people, especially women. So I want to talk about it today with an expert and I'm excited to have Jessamy Walker from Bare Naked Money, who I've had on before. And she's talked about insurances in a previous episode. So do listen back to that. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Jessamy, hello. Welcome to this week's podcast.
Hi. Hi, Caro. Thank you for having me.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you again. So pensions, it doesn't light anybody up. I don't think there's anybody that books a coffee date with a friend and says, shall we chat pensions? Why do you think people don't bother talking about it when it is such a vital aspect for later life?
We're really bad at planning for the future, generally. We'll do things for gratification instantly. If we can buy something and have it now, you know, next day delivery, all that kind of stuff. We do that because you face your own mortality or old age if you look later. That and pension scandals, you know, historic, there have been all sorts of things. So if I could call it the piggy bank that saves you tax and pays for you to go on holiday, we'd all have one. But that's what it does, basically.
I love that title. Gosh, that's amazing. So it's really reframing it, really, to unpack it, to make it accessible for other people to understand, and particularly self-employed business owners who, when they start out, it's certainly not the, you know, their later life is not what they're thinking about when they get started in their business. So they get caught up, they start their own business, they get going, and then, you know, money is at a premium. There's lots of pools and places to actually use their cash each month and bills and things that they have to pay. So at what point, who needs a pension? Is it everybody?
Okay, so pretty much everybody. So there is the basic state pension, which is a stunning £9,500 a year, provided you have a full pension record. So you've got to have contributed to national insurance for, used to be 36, 45 years. So your full state pension record is, which as a self-employed person, you pay national insurance stamp as you go through. So you do that, but it'll basically pay the bills and let you exist.
So many women take time out in addition to that because of having a family or those sorts of things. So they're unlikely.
No, that's okay, though.
Does that matter?
No, you get credit for having a family. So those years that you have children of an early age, you get credit to your national insurance contributions for that. But the trouble is that it doesn't become important and relevant to us until you get to 40-something and you think, oh, I haven't got long of my working life left. Shit, panic, but actually it's, so they've tried to combat the fact that there is only the state pension by bringing in auto-enrollment and the workplace pension. I don't see the adverts with the dinosaur that rocks around in the blue outfit. So if you're employed, it's done for you. You have to do it. Unless you consciously say, I don't want to, it's done automatically for you. So self-employed people, again, slide under the radar with that benefit thing that's available. So we have to look after ourselves.
Yeah. So when money is tight at the end of the month, or we've already got it allocated for maybe some extra learning or a new bit of equipment, or, you know, things for the kids, or that holiday that you've got your eye on, it's not on your radar to think, gosh, I need to be saving. It's not even for that rainy day. It's for literally looking after yourself when you finish working. And is it 9,500, did you say, as a state pension? That is just, who could live off 9,500?
It's £790 a month.
£790, gosh. But that's not even £200 a week.
Bills. No, council tax bills, rent and or mortgage, depending on what you've got rid of, electricity bill, that's it, job done.
That's startling.
Food of an existing variety rather than, oh, yay, I'll have that really nice wine and those, I don't know, takeaway on a Friday. Doesn't include that, doesn't allow for that kind of stuff. So, if
you've actually paid your mortgage off, you've still literally got less than £200 to live off for everything, for your whole existence, for your whole year, going forwards from the age of, what is it now, 60? Is it 67?
Depends on your age. It'll go to 67, yeah.
So, you know, we're living longer than ever these days. People are talking about longevity and going into our 80s and 90s.
That's a long time to live on beans and toast. But yeah, it's a long time to just survive. So it's a really unsexy thing to do, to put money in a pension. I have one client who has renamed her pension, and she renames it every year, My Holiday Fund 4. And I think we're on 2034 at the moment. And so every year, it's just, this is how much I can spend on going on holiday.
So she's forward planning for her retirement to be able to do lovely things. And that kind of motivates her today when she's needing to spend that money and save it into something. So that's why we need a pension. That's going to be my next question. Why do we need one? Do we even need one? But clearly everybody.
So two reasons. One, to be able to do nice stuff later. And two, as a self-employed or a small business owner, to save tax. Money you put into your pension is offset against your tax bill. Don't give the money to the tax man. Keep it yourself, basically.
So it's a tax-efficient way of saving for the future that the government approves of, because they're encouraging us to put that money aside to plan. And so they will give a tax break in order to do that.
Yeah. So if you've got £100 of profit or whatever, in either in your business or as a sole trader, if you put that £100 into your pension, they give you the tax back. So your £100 turns into £120 instantly.
And if you don't do it monthly and you want to wait until the end of the year to be able to see how things have gone, is it okay to do it on an annual basis when perhaps you do your tax return to think, right, I could afford to put X amount now because I've seen how the year's gone? Because often people feel a little bit touch and go when they're in the thick of the actual sort of week to week, month to month. Or what are your thoughts on that, Jessamy?
It depends on your personality and your money personality. The way you behave around money is your own personality is magnified in the way you behave around money. So I'm a very impulsive person, and I behave like that around money, and it gets me into trouble half the time. So I've learned I automate everything. So I automate the minimum I think I'm going to put in per month goes every month. And I then put the same amount again into an account I can't see. And then at the end of the year, do I need that because I need to pay wages or whatever else, or just before the end of the tax year, not after. Don't let your accountant get involved. Do it before. On month 9 or 10, just have a look, see what's come in, what's my profit look like, what do I need to get rid of, and do it then.
So it's like a buffer account that you have separately, and then you choose where you might want to allocate it to. And if you can, you'll put more into your pension if it's not needed elsewhere in your business.
So it's totally earmarked to put into my pension.
Okay.
That's absolutely what it's for. If I get to the end of the year and I'm like, shit, I need that money for something else, then it comes out. But it's totally earmarked. But it's rather than creating inflexibility. You can start putting into a pension from, some of them will take £20. Some of the apps that you can use will take £5. You know, it's really, and it's just start, because
Will that really make a difference, £5? Is that, I mean, obviously it depends on what age you're at. If you're sort of at 66, it's not going to make a blind bit of difference. But if you're 26, will that £5 or £10 make a difference if you're able to put that aside each week?
Yes, absolutely. For two reasons. One, because there's a psychology about it. It's a bit like going on a diet. You know, when you start to lose weight, you get really into it and you do it better. You know, when you lose the first couple of pounds, you're like, oh, yeah, great, I can do this.
Bit of motivation.
And it's the same thing. If you start with £5, before you realise what's going on, you're putting 50 or 100. And it's that, it builds a sort of competitiveness in yourself. It's really weird, but it, and the suit, you know, what's that Chinese proverb? When's the best time to plant a tree? Yesterday. When's the next best time? Today. It's the same thing because of the power of time. The compounding and the time element is phenomenal. So we talked about this the other day, and I did some calculations. If you put £50 a month in for a 30-year period, the pot of money at the end is nearly £50,000. So, but if you put £50 in for a 10-year period, it comes out at 9,300-ish. But the impact of compounding is that it's a bit like paying off your mortgage debt, you know, it's little, and then it starts to go as you earn.
It has an exponential effect and benefit in your favour as time goes on, doesn't it? Because of the compounding growth. Yes.
Yeah. So if you did it for 10 years and you end up with 9,300, you kind of assume that for 30 years, I'm going to end up with 30,000. You don't. There's another £20,000 of time compounding. So I get really nerdy about this and really excited about it, which is quite sad, but, you know, hey. So if you are starting out, start small, but just start and automate it. You know, set it up as a standing order so it just goes. There are some really cool apps out there that are really simple to do. Wealthify, Moneybox, Plum, any of those. They have a little decision tree. We've got a little person that takes you through the journey and tells you what to do. And they just, yeah, there's a little game app about it. A little, yeah, places like that, really cool to do to get started.
And where is that money going? When you say it goes into a pension, what are they doing with that money? Or does it depend on where you're investing it in? Is it at risk at all? Or does it give any projections as to the growth? Or what's the safety of that money that you're putting into this chosen app or whatever it is you decide to invest in?
Okay, so it depends. There's a whole questionnaire at the beginning that you'll go through. If you are young and you have time, you can be far riskier than not.
What do you call young? Could you just clarify young, Jessamy? Because we're of a certain age now. 50, so,
you know, as long as you've got a 10, 15 time horizon to when you want the money out, perfect.
I think because you're saying that might make people think if they're in their 20s, they don't need to start yet. But that's not the thought process, is it? Because they could have a much, much better and more exciting retirement if they are able to get going. So if they are living the high life in their 20s and they want to continue doing that, it's even more imperative that they do start in their 20s.
So I made my stepson at 18. You can have one from 18 onwards. I made him put £20 a month into, I can't even remember what it was, a stakeholder somewhere. And he went, pensions, what do I want to do that for? And pulled all the faces at me. And I went, because this pot, and I ticked it so it increased with inflation each year. So he now pays, I think he now pays about 100 and something because of the inflation tick up each year for the 10, 12 years he's been doing. His pension pot at the end of it will be £1.6 million.
Wow. That's impressive. Now, that's a lot more exciting than that 9,000.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And can you retrieve that money back if you needed it for a rainy day? Because I want to just check all the myths of, you know, it's not like a savings pot that you could access, is it?
No, it's not. It's, you tie it up to, you can access it from 10 years below your state pension age. So that's currently 55. For me, it'll be 57, you know, however old you are. If you think that you can have it from 60 onwards. So there's a balance about tying it up because it's, you know, it's really good because you can't get your hands on it. So it's brilliant in that it grows. But if you've got time, just going back to the risk thing, if you have time, then actually put it into something relatively high risk, because the market goes in cycles. You know, we go through cycles, and the boom years, the boom bust is about every 10 years, but there are 8 boom years to 2 bust years on average. So carry it, you know. Yeah, be as high risk as you can, even though it feels uncomfortable. Going back to the accessing it, because you can't access it, that time thing has a really good effect. So there's a balance. Are you going to need X amount of pounds within the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years? Keep that to one side and an ISA or something else like that. And this is then other money. So don't, as a self-employed person, particularly as a new business owner, don't overstretch yourself by going, oh, I'm going to put £500 a month and it's going to be amazing. One, you won't do it for long. It'll feel hideous. You know, make it, put £100 in and go, actually, I can do that really easily.
A more sensible amount that's affordable and for you to continue doing at a longer term rate.
Especially to get started, because as you get used to it and as you get further on and see how it impacts, you'll naturally just creep it up.
And when you're employed, because your company will often do it for you, there's some sort of matching, or they will put something in to also contribute towards your pension when you're in an employed role. When you're self-employed, does that happen because you're getting this tax break? Is that what their contribution is? Or is there anything that the government put in to sort of match or sort of boost your contribution at all?
No, the self-employed people are left out there on their own. So you get tax relief on it. So for every £80 you get in, you'll get £20 instantly back in. If you're a higher rate taxpayer, you can claim back another 20. So you basically get your tax back. No, there's no matching from an employer.
So that's the government sort of thinking that they're giving you tax relief. They're feeling that they're contributing in that way to boost your pension.
And you're your own employer, and have the flexibility that employed people don't have, and we can manage how we pay tax and all kinds of things like that. So there's that's the balance about it.
And when the money's invested into the pension, are they investing it into stocks and shares or bonds, or where would that money be going into?
So you can choose. If you go through one of those apps and do things, or come into the Bare Naked Money group, and I'll tell you more about it there. But you, on a scale of 1 to 10, there are different places you can go, with 1 being cautious, and there are cash and corporate bond funds. You can go into property funds, you can go into stocks and shares, you can go into emerging market, you can go up the risk scale as much as you like. What grows in a pension grows tax-free, so you pay no tax on it as an investment. And then the way you pull it out, you get a lump sum at the end. 25% of the accumulated pot comes out to you tax-free. So often it's quite good to tie in with when a mortgage ends, you can pull out that lump sum to pay off the balance of a mortgage or similar. But in terms of an investment account, it's one of the most efficient there is. I just get off my soapbox there now, because it is my soapbox.
No, it's great. It's great to hear. And what if somebody doesn't really know any of those things? Do they just base it, if they're not sure whether to go into bonds or property or any of those things, do they just put on a sliding scale what their risk profile is, that they perhaps might be a little bit cautious? Can they change it later down the line?
Change it anytime you like. Yeah. So really flexible. Change it when you like. So when you're younger, go in and be more risky about it. When you get closer to retirement, come back a step, because you don't want to do that whole jump up and down. You want it to be a much smoother thing. So on a lot of the apps and things I've talked about, so in my Facebook group, I've got a comparison of all the different apps. So you can choose, I want to put in this much and therefore this one's better or whatever. But when you go in, there's a decision tree questionnaire. How old are you? How long do you want to invest for? How much? How do you feel about XYZ? And there's a whole series of questions that go through and bring you out as you're a middle of the range kind of a person. We suggest you start with this fund. And then there's a bit of chat about why this is particularly good or not. And you can just tick the box and have the default fund.
So could you start a pension without actually ever speaking to a real person? You could literally do it through an app or through a software platform. Do you think that's a good way forward? Do you think it matters that you haven't had individual advice from somebody that's actually spoken to you and ascertained what your actual situation and circumstances, or do you feel these decision trees are so sophisticated that they would just literally be mimicking what an advisor may be saying to you?
They're really sophisticated. And if you're getting started, the more important thing is to actually go and do it rather than procrastinate about, I can't afford to pay an advisor. Because often, particularly at the lower levels of putting money in, you're not commercially viable for an advisor. Even at the bank, they'll kind of go, oh, yeah, okay, I'll have to. So that's where these apps and it's called robo-advice, and they come in at that point to catch that starting early person. And so actually they're really good.
And another question, this is a little bit more morbid, I was just wondering what would happen. So you've been paying in right up till 67 and you've actually done really well and you've paid a little bit more some years and you've seen that it's been going really, really well, and sort of 68, 69, you've just started taking your pension, you've had your 25% and you've been on your world cruise because you've paid your mortgage off and things are all fine and dandy, you've got some grandchildren and you've got this lovely pension that's looking like it's going to take you into your 90s, and you become ill, and sadly you can see that, you know, your demise is much sooner than you expected. What happens to all of that money that was going to be paid out in this pension to you? Are you shortchanged? Does it stop? Does it get paid somewhere else? Or what happens?
It depends how you've taken it, but in the most case, no, it's an account in your name with all your other assets. The beauty of it is that it's actually inheritance tax free.
But doesn't it die with your demise, or what happens? Because how long does the pension pay out for? And I presume until it's all used up or until you die. What's the sort of payout?
Yeah. Okay. So there are two ways of taking it. Historically, you did what they bought an annuity. You took the 25% out, and then you went to the pension company and you went, "How much can I have each year? Based on these terms, I'm this old, I'm this well." And they went, "Here you are, madam, you can have £1,000 a month because." And then when you died, that died with you, unless you built in, "When I die, can you pay my..."
Sorry, this is the old way that it was.
This is the old way.
Okay.
And so this is the perception we have, is that pensions die with you.
That's my perception. That's exactly what I thought happened, which is why I'm asking the question, because I'm learning so much, Jess. Thank you.
The rules changed back in 12, 14 years ago. I want to draw frantically somewhere because it's much easier to explain with a picture. But okay, so if this is your pot of money here, this is your pot of money.
So imagine you've got a pot of money, yeah, whatever it is.
We're going to call it £100,000 because I can do the maths then.
Okay.
You, 25,000 comes out straight away, so it becomes this big, and there's 75,000 left.
So this is the new way. This is how it's going forward.
This is historically. So you used to take this pot of money and you went to the man at the Pru or Norwich Union or whoever they were, and they went, "I have £75,000. I'm going to live on average until I'm 85. How much will you give me per month?" And they went, "Your age, your sex, your medical history, here you are, madam, you can have this much." And you went, "Thank you very much." And you spent it as much as you possibly could. What happens now is that you have the same pot of money. You can take out the 25%. This now sits like an investment account, and you just basically take the interest off the top, or you can have the whole lot out. You pay tax on this part remaining, so it becomes income, and you pay income tax on it. So your 75,000 would happily generate £4,000 or £5,000 a year, with very little tax on it, and your 75 would remain at around that level. If you take a bit more out, then you start to erode that pot of money. But that's okay, because what you want to do is slide into your grave waving the last £20 note at the undertaker as you go.
And if you've still got, say, 70,000 of it left, does that go into your estate or it evaporates?
No, it sits alongside your estate. So you complete what they call an expression of wish, or a beneficiaries form. You nominate someone. So you can just say, "Drop into my estate to be distributed with my will," Or you can say, actually, Caro, I want to leave it to her. And you put your name on it. And it comes out to you ahead of probate, ahead of everything else. As soon as they're notified of my death, you would get that money within about 10 days. It's a really, really great way of, oh my God, the world has imploded. My nearest and dearest has just died. Here's a lump sum of money to help not have to worry about stuff. You know, it's one less worry.
Could it be used to pay inheritance tax liability?
Yeah.
Okay. And the other question I wanted to ask around it, these days, if you become unwell in your sort of later life and you go into a nursing home and you need to pay for that because you've got X amount of savings, there's a threshold. Does that pot of money that you've got in your pension be considered for that, or is that external and outside?
It's excluded. It's excluded. Yeah.
So that's very important for a lot of people, particularly when the threshold, I think that last year they were talking about having a threshold of 86,000, weren't they? And I didn't know if that would include your pension pot or not, but you're saying it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Your pension sits outside bankruptcy and all sorts of things, because it's aimed to, the theory behind it is that it pays for you in later life so you don't become a burden on the government and you don't claim benefits and you don't become a problem to the welfare state. So it is protected in so many ways to stop you being a pain in the neck to the government, basically.
But if you had arranged for example, for it to pay you £1,000 a month for you to live off, etc., would that be seen as income that might be taken into account potentially for your nursing home days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on how you've set it up and what you've done, but yes.
Not that £1,000 would go very far these days towards a nursing home. When I hear how much they cost per week and per month, it's like crazy.
Yeah, and it's cheaper to go on a cruise for the rest of your life, don't?
Yeah. That's bad, isn't it?
And better service, I think.
Yeah. So I'm going to put a link to your Facebook group, Jessamy, because I think having an appraisal of all those different apps would be a really valuable place for people to start. So is that what you recommend? You're suggesting that it's not worth people engaging a financial advisor just to talk about pensions because it can be done so beautifully on these different software tools?
It's really simple to do on the software tool, particularly if you're just starting. If you've already built things up through corporate or somewhere before, sometimes it's better to pay into something that you already have. So I worked for corporate for God knows how long. I have a standard life pension that I just continue to pay into because I already have it and it does the job perfectly well. So if you already have accumulated things, then yes, talk to someone. Find someone you like to talk to as well. That's, you know, I love my job. I hate some of the people in my profession for their patronizing, down talky jargon stuff. It's not necessary. There are some great places to find some resources for education to just not feel stupid when you go in. Again, yeah, if you put the link to the group, there's a whole bunch of resources in there that just kind of say, here, this is what a pension is. This is how it works. This is what you can do in it. So you don't feel like an idiot. You're asking these questions.
I think that's amazing. I've learned so much, actually, just from our talk.
Well, I think the trouble is that women particularly, you know, it, financial advice and investing, if you read men's magazines, they naturally say, when you buy shares, there is this assumption that you're going to go and do it and that you'll just do it. We don't get that. We get, oh, you've saved money. Have you put it in an ISA, looked after your family, bought shoes and handbags or whatever else the fluffy patronizing thing is? Women are really, really good at investing. They're actually better at it than men. Get my teeth out of the way. Because once we've been educated, we make a decision and we stick to it. And we have no issue sticking to it. And the results you get from that are way, way better. Men are too impatient and they're looking for the, I generalize spectacularly here. They look for the quick return. And with the quick return also comes the quick fall. And they chop and change stuff an awful lot more. Whereas women just go, I'm doing that. It's set up. I'll leave it. And we're so much better at it.
And pensions is such a long game. Obviously, we hope it will be a long game because we all want to have longevity. But I think that the biggest message is that we should start young. And I'm just thinking back when I was in the NHS, which was an awfully long time ago and quite a number of decades ago now, but I still get an annual statement from them giving me an update. And they seem to take a large fee every year for managing this paltry amount, but that's another story, isn't it? But it's important, I suppose, to just keep it going. I would never pay into that again, I presume, because it's an old historic one that was just for the few years that I began in the NHS.
You're probably not allowed to through the NHS or government schemes because they were used to be final salary schemes. So you're probably not allowed to, but you know, an ordinary Norwich Union Standard Life, Pru, Legal & General, Scottish Widows, you can just start up a direct debit into them again.
And one other thing I want to ask about is how regulated is the industry now? Because I think there is some historic, you know, we talked about the pension scams, that the scandals that had happened previously. But has that created a much more regulated environment? Is this money safe when they're putting it into? Should they stick with just a UK pension plan, or should they be looking globally, or just stick in the UK?
You're going to get the tax relief if you put it into a UK-based tax wrapper. Within there, you can invest in global funds and global investments. So you can go, you know, commercial property, you can buy buildings in it, all sorts of weird and wonderful. I own a field in mine, you know, just because you do. But the wrapper is a UK-based wrapper. It's phenomenally regulated, which is why, as a new startup pension, you're not commercially attractive to a lot of advisors, because the amount of paperwork and stuff that I have to do to set that up for you means I'm going to charge you £600-700 for doing it. Well, if you're only putting in £50 a month, you know, that's not,
which is prohibitive, isn't
it? Which is why the emergence of these apps and things has been so great. Because I mean, I've got an ISA through one of those apps, and I pay 0.1% a year. It's about, I think the last charge I looked at was £22 for the year.
And has this regulation come about because of the pension scandals, or so it wasn't regulated previously and this is why Robert Maxwell was able to get away?
Not nearly the same way. Yeah, not nearly the same way. So your pot of money is entirely ring-fenced to you. It's an individual account. It has similar protection to the banking-type protection, but actually it's stronger. And the chances of you losing all of the money in your pension would mean that every single company, probably in the globe, would have to implode at the same time. We have way more pressing things to worry about if that's what's going on.
Okay. So I think just to recap, the things that I've taken away definitely for today is to start as early as possible, to put in as much as is affordable, and don't get sort of over ambitious about thinking that it's the be all and end all. It's about affordability. So it is possible to cut back a little bit at leaner times, perhaps if you're going through your business, but just the main message is just to get started. And also to perhaps put your risk profile up higher when you're younger, because you can afford, you've got the luxury of time. So you can choose to be a bit riskier when you get started, maybe, I don't know, an 8 and a 9 or whatever it is on your scale. But as you get closer to your retirement age, it's important to, you know, have an eye on where it is and to perhaps be a bit more cautious. And the upside is that you have it as a tax-free amount that you can put into it, because the government will give you tax relief. So it's a beneficial thing to invest in. Is that correct?
Yeah, all of that. And actually, it's, you know, think of it, don't think of it as, ugh, it's my pension, because that's such a negative. Think of it as I'm saving to go, I don't know, on that world cruise, whatever it is, around the world. I mean, this client of mine has, so in her 2037 holiday, she's going across Route 66. So she's changed the picture on the front of her pension account to a pair of cowboy boots.
I love that.
But it just makes it.
I think it connects you to, you know, what you're doing. It connects you to what you're doing now, to know that it's going to really look after you and you're going to actually have such a great time to look forward to. And it's through that small, regular, you know, those mundane habits that don't seem very exciting, but I always say the magic is in the mundane. So it's about making those adjustments today when you don't notice them very much, and the rewards will really come and you'll have a great time, because as I say, 9,000, nearly 10,000 is absolutely zippo to live off when they're talking about energy bills being 4,000 or 5,000 of that.
It's also the other thing that I believe will happen to the state pension is that it will, at the moment, it increases with inflation each year. But because there is this workplace pension coming in to carry the weight of that, I think this will flatline. And so inflation will keep going up, but the value of what you can buy from your state pension will start to stagnate. So in actual practical terms, it'll start going backwards. It'll sit at the 9.5, for example, or 10. But inflation and the cost of things will keep going up, but you'll still only get that. So you have to fill the gap yourself.
I think I followed that. I get a bit overwhelmed with things like inflation and stuff, but what do I know?
So if inflation sits and does this, and your state pension is going up like this with it, fabulous. You're 9.5.
I'm just mindful that our listeners won't be able to see any of that example.
No.
Because they can't see us, can they?
I'm drawing pictures.
No, it's fine. I'm just aware that with inflation, the actual real benefit of your pension actually isn't growing with it.
Your state pension will start to become a smaller and smaller amount compared to...
Relative to costs.
Compared to costs and compared to your overall, because for most people, there is this workplace pension that will pick up the slack because you have to go in it.
But for self-employed people, we don't have a workplace pension. And so whenever anybody talks about workplace pensions, I completely switch off straight away. And yeah. I'm like, oh, that's not me. That's not me. So I don't have to worry. And I think with that switch off, I also switch off with that word pension and just think, oh, that's not, that is me. I do need to think about it, but I don't have a workplace pension. So yeah, it is definitely something for people to address.
Absolutely. Then it's something that you have to do for yourself because you are your employer.
100%. Jessamy, thank you so much for sharing all of that. I really hope that people have got so much value. Even if nobody else listens to this episode, I have got so much from it. It feels like I've had a personal session with you. So thank you. And if our listeners want to find out more about you and to find out more about Bare Naked Money, because I know that that's an amazing company that you've set up to talk about without the jargon and to really unpack things. So, you know, people like myself that don't like jargon and want to have it told as it is can understand it. Where's the best place that they can connect with you, and particularly that Facebook group where they could look at those different apps?
So Bare Naked Money Community, it's a closed Facebook group. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there, and follow me on Instagram and all the links into, you know, anyway, search Bare Naked Money.
I'll put that into the show notes, so I just want to make sure they can find your Facebook group. So that's great. Thank you so much. Well, I hope you've learned loads today. Have a wonderful week ahead. Earn lots of lovely money with the least amount of stress. And let's catch up soon next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organised and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.